Virgin here for the Financial Services Marketing Blog, and today I'm joined by my colleague Stephen Vujevic, Director of Digital Strategy at Gregory FCA. Social media is something that's always changing, and Stephen is going to help us understand what that means for your content and distribution strategies. Thank you for being with us, Stephen.
Oh, happy to be here, Allie. How are you?
Good, good. How are you on this Monday?
Fantastic.
Good. So, there's been quite a bit of news this past week about Facebook, but you say we won't really see too much of a change in usership. With this being a platform great for family and friends, what would be the best way for companies to build a community around their brand and make the most out of their content strategy?
Well, I think one of the things that brands and clients need to keep in mind specifically is don't always put the eggs in one basket. You know, you want to have a vibrant community that makes sense, and not necessarily just where your brand on a brand business-to-business focus is, but where your audience is going to spend the most of their time. So right now, you know, there's been some news about Facebook and how they're tracking monthly users, which is the metric they usually use in some of their earnings calls, and how they're reporting, users on the platform. But you have to keep in mind it's something that when we're working with a client, we're looking at what makes sense for their audience or where their audiences play. So some of the best success we've seen from even some business to business focused companies is on Facebook, because when you're on Facebook, you're there to, usually you're killing time, or there's something your attention is focused to it more. And we've seen a good amount of traffic being driven through to key pages that we're helping promote to our clients. And it's not to say that the other platforms don't have a significant role, like Twitter. I've seen a really significant growth on Twitter over the past 6 months to 8 months for our clients specifically. But Facebook is a very important place to be, even if it's something as simple as marketing your recent media win or your latest blog post to people that have visited your website. So there's a lot of different benefits there.
Wonderful. So since Facebook seems to be where most people are getting their news from, where do Twitter and LinkedIn fit in? Are these still platforms that companies should put a focus on as part of their content and distribution strategy, and how should they leverage that?
That's a great question. I think it depends. It kind of goes back to that holistic sense of things. So, you know, you mentioned that Facebook is where most of people get their news, and that is true. I like to cite Pew Research data. They have the last specific piece of information that I saw from them regarding news consumption and social media users was from back in 2017. I'm hoping they'll update that soon, but according to them, social media sites as kind of like the gateway for people to read news, around 66% of U.S. adults who use social media, around 45% of those get their news on the site from Facebook. Now, obviously, there have been different things that have changed in between when this survey and study was taken. There were some major announcements in January from Facebook discussing how news was going to be disseminated. There's some additional verification that's going in there to make sure that accurate news is being shared to communities and to users to kind of verify those sources. But I think it depends on what piece of news it is and where does it play. So to give you an example of a good piece of news, a new office opening or maybe an initiative that makes sense for a community impact, I think would be a great place, something that might make sense to share on Facebook or even something Instagram if you've got some great visuals or some video to go along with it. But if it's more of a business announcement, whether it's maybe a promotion or a specific business-focused initiative, LinkedIn makes more sense there. And then Twitter, I think Twitter often gets overlooked in terms of announcements and campaigns, but your company should be, I think, the most active on Twitter, just given how much news is being shared in a given day and the different types of topics that are coming up in your industry. So it can be a challenge, especially for clients or companies in a regulated industry, but I think that just kind of promotes the necessity there to have a great dialogue with clients and with your brands and with your compliance department, and to make sure that you can engage with content as it's being shared on Twitter.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Sure.
And then here's a new one to me. We've been hearing a lot about Google AMP. AMP, when it comes to marketing strategies. So can you first explain what AMP is and how it could be beneficial or not beneficial as part of a firm strategy?
That's a great question, and it's one of my favorite topics. Google AMP, which it's been out for a couple years now, but Google AMP was initially announced as a competitor to an initiative by Facebook. So to put it in context, think of like the VHS, Betamax, or more recently, Blu-ray, HD, DVD kind of battles. Facebook had a platform that was trying to share and host news. Basically, you would upload your content to Facebook and they would be the one delivering it to an audience. AMP does a similar function, but it kind of gives control over to the people who are creating the content. So whether it's a media publication or a brand, a blog, a website, it stands for Accelerated Mobile Pages. And what it does is when you create, you add AMP to your site, if somebody is visiting your website from a mobile phone, maybe through Google search or what have you, even on LinkedIn, it will provide a more compressed and a quicker loading experience for those people that are visiting your blog content. So instead of waiting for a very large image file to load, it might serve you a compressed version of that image file and make it easier and have a better overall brand interaction for those people. Mm-hmm. So I think as we've seen in the past few years, more people are accessing our clients' websites, our own website and other presences with their cell phone first and having that first interaction there. It's really crucial to not let people have a negative first brand interaction on a mobile device and then never come back to visit, you know, on a laptop, desktop, what have you. But it's a very important piece, and it's something that we're testing here and deploying for a few clients. But it's definitely something to keep in mind when you're either building a new website or if you're noticing some negative interactions through something like a Google Analytics of people visiting your site from a mobile phone.
Mm-hmm. I think that makes perfect sense. I think we've all had that experience getting frustrated on slow-moving web pages.
You're out of there after a couple seconds, right?
All right. Well, that does it for us today. So thank you again, Stephen, for helping us bring some clarity to the ever-changing world of social media and how to leverage it. We hope you enjoyed this podcast, and please stop by again soon.
My pleasure. Thanks, Alec. Thank you.